Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo. Here's your preview of Man City versus Chelsea at the Etihad, the late kickoff on Saturday. Here's myself, Louis Benaventi.
It's me, Daniel Childs.
Yes, and we nailed the intro. It's fantastic. And that's exactly what we wanted as Chelsea hopefully nail all 3 points at the Etihad after an absolutely dismal display by Manchester City in Paris la semaine dernière. Oh, it won't be last week. It'll actually be this week. Dernier, you know what I mean? Back there. You wouldn't believe I studied French at A level, would you?
Je m'appelle Sacre Bleu.
Yeah. No, to be honest, my French is all right, but I just got the feeling the pressure there because I was trying to be too funny and it didn't work. But Chelsea, of course, really in a bit of a pickle at the minute, despite getting a result on Monday night, which I think Dan and I touched on very briefly in what was supposed to be the first half of the Man City preview, but turned into 35 minutes ranting about our sporting directors.
It would have been way more funnier if we just didn't do this part of the podcast and that was the Man City preview.
Literally just leaving it going, yeah, sweet. But there are whole sections of this show which we don't have, which we really need to include. And one of those sections is something we've not done for a little while, but I think it's fair to include it. And Dan and I have just aptly named it because it wasn't actually a name for the section. It's just called Rewind Selector. Except not like that. We'll actually have a proper intro made at some point, but you know, we'll need to figure out the branding. And of course, before we get into the preview, before we get into Stat Shaggers, we play the game where we have to name the opposition 11 that Chelsea played against in a game gone by against this week's opponents. Now, I was thinking and speaking with Dan, we're going, when's the last time Chelsea won at the Etihad? It was lockdown. That team's too easy. The time before that, that team was too easy. But I had a brainwave because there's a certain player we were talking about in what was supposed to be the first half of the preview that actually, I believe, made his debut in this game for Chelsea, and that is Nemanja Matic. So we are going to be talking about Chelsea's trip to the Etihad, where Man City at that point were on a little bit of a roll. They'd won 11 out of 11 at home in the league before that visit, and Chelsea were looking to leapfrog Arsenal to return to the top of the table. So Dan, I want to guess Man City's 11 against Chelsea in the Blues 1-0 victory at the Etihad. A fun fact for you, by the way, it was the first time that Man City had failed to score at home in a match since November 2010 at that point in time. 68 goals and were kept out by the best defence, by the way, with Chelsea, who conceded just 20. So, Dan, can you tell me the Man City 11 that day?
I feel like Joe Hart might have been injured.
I'm not commenting.
Pantilimon?
Nope.
Okay, so it's Joe Hart.
Oh, yeah.
Pablo Zabaleta.
Yep.
Gael Clichy.
Nope.
Vincent Kompany. Yep. Debuchelis.
Nope.
Was this past Micah Richards era?
I don't know if it was. I just think it's when he was injured all the time.
Yaya Toure started, I know that. Yep. Samir Nasri.
No, Samir Nasri. But sorry, Demichelis did play. My mistake. He played in midfield. That's why I couldn't see him. I was looking at defenders. Demichelis did start.
So it was Toure and Demichelis. Jesus Navas.
Yep.
Sergio Aguero.
No.
Negredo.
Negredo, yep.
Jovetic? Was that his name? Jovetic?
Stefan Jovetic did come on. He didn't start.
Got Navas. I'm trying to think that season. David Silva.
David Silva did play.
So how many have I got so far? I've got
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You're missing 3. You're going to kick yourself over a couple of these.
Sanya? Bakary Sanya?
No, Bakary Sanya.
Did he move? I think he was still at Arsenal at that point. Trying to think, this is like 2014, wasn't it? 2014. This was a team that won the Premier League as well. Did we already said no Aguero?
No Aguero. Aguero wasn't even on the bench, must have been injured.
I feel like Pellegrini at this point played a 4-4-2, so I'm trying to think of another striker.
you're going to kick yourself over this one if you don't get it. I'm being deadly serious. You're going to be shocked if you. I'm going to be shocked if you don't get this. There's one player in this team. I'm being like, yeah, fair play if you don't get him, because I forgot he played for him as well. But two of these, I'm like, you should be getting these.
So I've already said Yaya Touré. Mm-hmm.
You're missing a striker and two defenders.
Two defenders. I feel like, did I say Vincent Kompany already?
You said Kompany, you said Zabaleta.
Adebayor definitely didn't play for them at this time.
Nope. Let me know when you give up, by the way. There are going to be people screaming at this podcast because you've not got these names. I'm being deadly serious. These are two names which I'm looking at and going, can't believe you've not said them yet. I'll give you one more guess, and if you don't get it, I'm going to tell you who they are. You've up?
No, not yet. Not yet. I'm trying to think. Oh, he played for Everton. I'm thinking of a defender. Lescott?
Nope. Okay. So, the team that day for Man City. Joe Hart in goal. The centre-backs were Vincent Kompany and Mateo Nastasic. Right-back was Pablo Zabaleta. Left-back was Alexander Kolarov. Midfield was Jesus Navas, David Silva, Martin Demichelis and Yaya Touré. And the front two were Alvaro Negredo and the one I was really surprised you didn't get, Edin Dzeko. The bench for them that day was Kostel Pantilimon, Gael Clichy, Derek Boyata, James Milner, Jack Rodwell, Ronnie Lopez and Stefan Jovicic. Do you want to know the Chelsea team that day or do you think you can guess it?
I think I can guess the Chelsea team.
Go on.
Petr Cech, yep. Ivanovic, yep. Cahill, yep. Terry, yep. Dave, yep. Matic, yep. David Luiz,
yep.
Ramirez, yep. Willian, yep. Edin Hazard.
You've got this in front of you. There's no way you're getting all this.
No, I don't. No, I don't. I promise you,
Go
I don't.
On. Yeah, last one.
I've said Edin Hazard. Samuel Eto'o.
Yeah! Fucking hell, Dan. Bench that day for Chelsea. Mark Schwarzer, Ashley Cole, Oscar, Frank Lampard, John Obi-Mikel, Demba Ba, and Mohamed Salah was on the bench for Chelsea that day. Fucking hell, Dan. Fair play.
I know my Chelsea 2014 yeah. teams. The opposition, I don't really. It's more guessing.
Oh yeah. I was gonna say like the Chelsea team's way too easy that year because it was so consistent. Not a smash and grab though, according to Phil McNulty on the BBC. Chelsea were a strong side in that, and Branislav Ivanovic was a difference maker.
So it was Branislav doing the head and shoulders celebration mm-hmm. after he smashed it in. And also, it was the Martin Tyler, it's a Mourinho masterclass line at full time.
Yeah, yeah. Good old Martin Tyler, eh? Don't we love him? But that is Rewind Selector. That's exactly what it is. It's a working title. If anyone's got any better names, please do let us know down on our socials. I'm kind of looking at the people who always send me memes. You guys are really good at this sort of stuff. But we'll move swiftly on to the only section of the show that actually is branded and actually does have a theme song. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Right then, Chelsea actually won a game. The bad run comes to an end, but will it continue? Manchester City is certainly not as daunting a challenge as it was this time in each of the last four seasons, but still, as shown by their 6-0 drubbing of Ipswich, they are a good side. Chelsea have played them 179 times over the years and currently still just about have the winning record, 71 wins, 41 draws, and 67 defeats. As I've already alluded to, a 3-1 win over Wolves saw Chelsea get back into the top four after Newcastle faltered at home to Bournemouth. That top four battle is certainly hotting up between four sides already mentioned at the moment, really. Chelsea, City, Newcastle and Bournemouth, who are thriving under the crimson chin, as Louis likes to call him, Mr. Adoni Iraola. Probably the most surprising team, even though you would think Bournemouth would be, it's Manchester City for Chelsea to be locked into a battle for Champions League football with after their recent successes in the league and, of course, with Pep Guardiola as their manager. But this season, almost exactly after Rodri was ruled out of the season with a torn ACL, Manchester City have fallen off with a whimper. They now sit in fifth 2 points behind Chelsea, and they appear to have, well, they have used some favourable fixtures to regain a bit of form and pick up some points and gain, of course, when Chelsea decided to lose that form and drop points. Wins over Leicester City, West Ham and Ipswich, as well as a draw against Brentford, which, to be fair, they were 2-0 up in, so that's not a great draw, but still, that's seen them gain 10 points from a possible 12 in their last four matches, which was needed because before that, they had a horrible time. Four consecutive Premier League games against Bournemouth, Brighton, Tottenham, which was, of course, a 4-0 defeat, and Liverpool, before they kind of strangely, comfortably beat high-flying Nottingham Forest 3-0. That did not stem the bleeding, though, as the losses continued. They drew to Crystal Palace and Everton and lost to Man United and Aston Villa in between those two draws. So in 9 matches between the start of November and Boxing Day, City won just 5 points from a possible 27, losing 6 of those 9 matches. Bizarre, really bizarre. And the recent run, as we've just spoken about, it has come at a good time for them and it has given them a chance of Champions League football again for next season. But on that topic, this season, this campaign of Champions League has been an absolute disaster for them, losing 4-2 to PSG in the week, having already lost to Juventus and Sporting, and drawn against Inter and Feyenoord. Well, what that means is it is a massive 2 matches for Pep Guardiola as they face the incumbent 4th place team in the Premier League and Club Bruges on Wednesday, which they have to win to have any chance of staying in the Champions League. And that is crazy to think that at the start of the season we'd be saying that. City do have the 3rd most goals in the Premier League this season, joint with Chelsea, and only behind Tottenham, who have still scored the 2nd most goals despite where they are in the league, and top of the league, Liverpool, who have now hit 50. There are, however, 8 defences with better records than City this season, including all 4 teams above them and the 2 teams directly below them too. So Chelsea, you would think, will have chances to score, which is something that could not really be said in the return fixture or actually in most of the recent fixtures between these two sides. The Blues fell to a 2-0 defeat after Erling Haaland and Mateo Kovacic struck for City at Stamford Bridge in August. And that was the latest in a bad run of games for Chelsea against City. 10 matches without a win. Only 2 of those 10 were draws, the 1-1 and 4-4 in the Premier League last season. Those are, coincidentally, the only 2 matches Chelsea scored in the last 10, losing all the other 8 without scoring. And that dates back to the 29th of May 2021, when, of course, Chelsea defeated Manchester City in the Champions League final. But that, of course, is now nearly 4 years ago, and it's been a bad run against them since then. Let's hope that can change here. As one of Pep Guardiola's disciples, Enzo Maresca has a chance to get one over his former boss. So far, he's only faced him once. That was in August in that 2-0 defeat at the Bridge. Pep, one of the great football managers of all time, has now faced Chelsea more than anyone except for Arsenal. And he has a strong record, as you can imagine, by the recent form. 29 matches he's played against Chelsea. Arsenal is 31, if you were wondering. 16 wins, 5 draws and 8 defeats from Guardiola over the years against the Blues. Though, of course, those do famously contain some rather glaring Champions League defeats with both Barcelona and Manchester City. Let's hope they can get a Premier League one over him, and maybe they also lose on Wednesday and their season is really, really ruined. Fingers crossed. Up the Chelsea.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Right, Dan.
1, 2, 3. It's Stat Shaggers. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I prefer the other theme song, to be brutally honest with you, mate. But, you know, well, fair play. I mean, it's yeah. we can look into it. We'll pin that. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other, what other corporate jargon could I use so I don't like it. But you know, I'm trying to let you down gently.
It didn't have enough character.
It did have enough character.
Yeah, we'll circle back to it.
But anyway, speaking of circling back, we should probably get onto the preview that we were supposed to do rather than looking at this 35 minutes where we're just shouting at sporting director saying we could do a better job. Dan, this trip to Manchester City, as you alluded to when it was supposed to be the preview and we were talking about, Manchester City have not actually done so well this season. They look like they could have been back with a absolute thumping at the weekend before completely capitulating at the Parc des Princes with PSG winning and maybe putting Man City's Champions League hopes on a little bit of a knife edge. Chelsea, look, we're not going to go too deep into the previous fixture. That's what the preview's for. That's what final score's for. So if you want to know about that, please do go back and listen to our thoughts on the game there. Chelsea were actually quite poor for the vast majority of the game. I think very fortunate. So I'm still not very confident, despite chalking up 3 points on a rather dismal run in the Premier League. It was nice to get 3 points, but Man City still Man City, right?
It definitely is, you know, one of the toughest away days of the year. And I think even if Chelsea, with the context of City, were to win this game, it would seem like a huge one. And it's tough to know what to get from Man City this year, because, as you said, their recent Premier League form has been kind of more what we expected from them this year. However, psychologically, and I think the tiredness that may come into it after a draining game at PSG, to be 2-0 up, and as you say, a game they both teams needed to win for them to collapse in that manner, was really devastating. In what could have been, you know, it when they're 2-0 up, that felt like it could be a real statement win for them, and then it to capitulate in that manner is clearly going to have an impact. You look at the nature of the way they conceded those goals, the nature of the way that game went away from them, so poor on the ball in midfield, lacking the control you expect, and the errors that just haven't been there for Guardiola's team, the control that's been so used to being a trademark of Guardiola City has completely evaporated this season. I do think there will be opportunities for Chelsea in this game. I absolutely do. I do think there will be moments when Chelsea are either on top or will create good looks at goal. The issue I have at the moment is whether those attackers in Chelsea's team are going to take those, because unfortunately in attack we've really struggled to have the output we did about a month ago. I feel like obviously if this game took place a month ago or 2 months ago, I think a lot of us would have been tons more confident walking into this game. But I always say in these type of situations, even when the team's been playing poorly, these are opportunities, not punishments. You know, the opportunity to beat City could be psychologically damaging for them and psychologically uplifting for Chelsea when they really need it under Enzo Maresca.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm kind of hoping Chelsea's mentality is going to be. However, after talking about that 13-14 game and then looking at what we have now, my confidence completely drains from every echelon of my body. If an echelon would suggest that it's, you know, it's all great positive up top there, it's not. It's not. I don't go into this game with any confidence. I don't look at this and go, do you know what? I really believe we can get something here. I have a worry that Chelsea are going to be watching that game again because of inexperience, because of age, looking at this game and going, brilliant. City just lost 4-2 to PSG. Right, we can. They're looking bad again. We can probably get something here. Let's go for it. We've not looked spectacular over the past few weeks. Like you said, if it was a few weeks ago, if it was before Christmas, I'd be sitting there going, yeah, hands down, I think we got this. I'm far more confident in what we got going forward now. But I look at that Man City team and I see a lot of experience. I see, despite maybe them slowing down, a side which, by the way, when people thought they'd be completely out of the top four race a few months ago, despite the fact they've been playing poorly, they're still in the top four race, arguably right amongst it. In fact, definitely right amongst it. You know, it's something which Chelsea really, really need to be careful of. Really need to be careful of. Because they cannot go into this just thinking that, right, we won our last game, City aren't looking great, let's get someone here. You've still got Erling Haaland on that pitch. You've still got De Bruyne if he's playing or not. You've still got Edison if he's playing or not. You know, you've got players in that Man City squad which know how to win games of football, have done it and absolutely spectacular. They're not a bad side. And I think I worry that people are going to be looking at this, licking their lips, rather than going into it with a little ounce of worry. A bit like they should have done, again, with Ipswich, who were playing well at home, but apparently we were insane for thinking, Ipswich actually aren't that bad a side. They can get a result here, and they went and did it. I can't believe I just compared Man City to Ipswich.
I don't think complacency is going to be the biggest problem here, actually. And the counter argument could be that a lot of Chelsea's issues stylistically over the past month have been facing opponents that sit deep against them and provide kind of a stifling, suffocating opposition and you know, very much stop us from playing, and that space isn't there for us to hit on transition a lot. You'd argue with City that space will be there because City at home are not going to put in a low block against Chelsea. It's just not in their identity. They're not going to do it. If you look at the stats across the Premier League, they're still having a lot of the ball. They still are creating a high XG. They still are a progressive attack-minded team. That is what their identity is. They're not going to change it. They can't really change it. So I guess the counter argument for an optimistic point of view is that for the first time in a while, Chelsea will face a team that offers them that sort of room to hit on transition and offers our attackers the space they haven't been provided with recently a lot more. So that's what maybe gives me a bit of confidence in heading into this game. That at least will create opportunities, that space will be there. It's just that execution, unfortunately, you don't have as much trust as you did a month ago, that our players, when those opportunities present themselves, will have the finishing touch. And, you know, you always factor in against City, even if that space is maybe there a little bit more because you're facing a more dominant team on the ball, those chances probably won't be as frequent. So the need for clinical thinking and a clinical edge in the final third is even more pressing, which obviously at the moment Chelsea don't have.
Exactly. So, you know, we'll just have to see what happens here, because I feel like this could really go either way, but I do think it's going to end up sitting in the middle, and it's going to be quite a dull game.
I agree. That's my instinct as well. I feel like fear will end up taking a big role in this game for both teams. I feel that for Man City, they can't afford another damaging defeat in the space of a couple of days. The psychological blow of losing at home to a Champions League rival, for Chelsea, who've usually really struggled at the Etihad, for them to get a win in that manner could be really damaging to City's season and really knock them back. And obviously they can't afford to lose many more points, because we're getting into that serious time of the year when points really do start to matter and results really have a lot more of an impact on the table. And for Chelsea, we've just come off the back of a needed win, and for us to fall back into another defeat again could be really damaging. So I could see a scenario playing out where either it's a 0-0 cancel each other out game, or maybe it's a little bit more open to begin with, and then with like half an hour to go, it's 1-1 and the game's in the balance and both coaches prefer control over chaos, and it turns out that, you know, both teams are just happy to shake on it, get a point and walk away.
Which in any other season I'd go fantastic result, but right now, we need that win. I'm just looking at the table now. Chelsea, I mean, look, in terms of the teams around us, then their upcoming fixtures, Newcastle, Southampton, that's a win. So that's realistically, if we look at the points, they'll be sat on 41. Bournemouth have got Forest, which is a big game for both of them, of course. Bournemouth win that, it's probably not the end of the world. They'll go level on points with us if we lost at Man City. But, I mean, ideally, if we can get a result at Man City, we can close the gap on Nottingham Forest, which would be massive, by the way, as well.
Also to Arsenal, I mean, we're only 4 points off second, aren't we?
Yeah,
I think
Arsenal have got Wolves. It's going to be interesting to see how this all pans out. If we want to go even further down the table, of course, you know, eighth, because it is a top eight, realistically. Maybe even the top, I mean, could be top 10, if I'm going to be very honest. And actually, no, that's maybe a bit of a stretch. Let's go top nine, because Brighton are only 6 points behind us. They've got Everton next in ninth. They're obviously ninth. Villa have got West Ham. So it's a very, 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 very tight Premier League table. So we need to really aim to get a big result against Man City, especially when they're a side which are hurting. You know, we need to make the most of that. You know, they're unbeaten in five in the Prem, despite the fact that realistically, You know, people are thinking they're still down and out after losing to PSG, unbeaten in five in the Premier League. You know, we've won one in five. So we are not going into this as favourites at all, which is something which I think that we need to be very, very honest with ourselves about and really look to get the result. But having said all of that, Dan, I've just realised we've gone off on a complete tangent because we normally have a whole setup in how we do our shows. Should we do the Echo 11?
Yeah, fun for the whole family.
Right, let's talk about goalkeeper. And you know what? We can be realistic, but I think we should also just play the team we think should start. Because I think, realistically, especially with goalkeepers, we are very firmly in the Philip Jorgensen camp. I think we should start a cult.
We're in the not Robert Sanchez camp, I think, is more I can't fully confidently with certainty say that Philip Jorgensen is going to be any better than Robert Sanchez, but I just know I don't want Robert Sanchez. That's something I know in my heart that I can say very clearly, I don't want Robert Sanchez.
So Marcus Bettinelli in goal.
Yeah. Is Cudicini still working at the club? Is Hilario still working at the club? Could we?
He's not. But I bumped into Hilario again the other day. That was funny.
Oh man.
I was going to see my physio in Teddington, and I bumped into him. Still doesn't beat the time I bumped into him on Shrove Tuesday. We're just yamming down on a crepe. I was like, what a man. Walking down the street in an essentials hoodie, yamming a crepe. I was like, you're my sort of bloke, mate. I mean, Robert Sanchez, I'm sorry. So I didn't see the howler properly at the ground because it wasn't... I was at the other end, so it wasn't as obvious. It just looked like it kind of was a bit of a scramble. I watched it back and I want to kill myself. You know, he's even... I mean, not Robert Sanchez. That's our goalkeeper choice, and we will put that out. Chelsea, the Echo 11 is not Robert Sanchez. Whoever else, we don't care. Right back has to be Reece. I thought he looked pretty stable. Yeah. We're doing this on a Thursday because I'm working. Sorry, let's say again. We're recording this on a Thursday rather than a Friday, by the way, purely because I am at a shoot in Crewe all of Friday. So I am unavailable to do the full press conference stuff like we normally would. Are we going to go on the premise that Levi's fit, or do you want to go on the premise that he's not?
It's tough to know. Unlike Enzo Fernandez, we haven't really heard anything about Levi, so it really is a toss of a coin at the moment. Let's go on the premise that he isn't. I mean, if he is... this is our podcast. If he is, it's Levi and Trev. If he isn't, I think it's Tosin and Trev.
I agree with that. And I thought Tosin and Trev actually looked very, very, very solid against Bournemouth. I thought that's the first time in a while I've seen a very stable pairing. It was the little things as well. I said it on Final Score. When Trev came in and he just marshalled the back line. Like, do you remember at school when you were playing 11-a-side and the teacher was like, right, you have that one centre-back who just says, everyone on me, and they line everyone up. The fact that we're even having that and Trev's going, right, everyone up, everyone up, everyone up. Like, stay in line. It's like, oh my God, we've actually got something stable here, which is looking good. So, you know, we're happy with that in terms of centre-backs. Left-back is Cucurella. Se bebe una estrella. But we're doing that rather than trying to... Did you see him rapping, by the way?
I wish I didn't. utter Central C wearing a goalkeeper's shirt, who might actually be better than Chelsea's first choice anyway.
I reckon he was doing that as like a
song. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Chelsea
Echo starting home with Central C in goal.
do you know what? Yes. That is our Central C in goal. Left back Cucurella. Centre backs is TBC, purely until we know that Levi's fit. If Levi's fit, Levi and Trev. If Levi's not fit, it's Tosin and Trev. Right back, Reece James. Midfield, Enzo Fernandez is said to be fit, so we'll put him in. Moises Caicedo, I'm a little bit worried about, Dan.
Yeah, I have to say I almost had a heart attack when he stayed down the other night. I was thinking, this is the end. This is the end of our midfield. You could see the midfield capitulating, and you just saw Dewsbury Hall there. Dewsbury Hall, you can't save No, I'm not giving him much credit because it was a bang average performance.
He played well.
No, he didn't.
Come on, be fair. He was Arsenal the water boy role. He did it brilliantly. He picked it up. He kept it simple. He kept it ticking. That's what you want.
He was playing well. He can't win a tackle to save his life, and all he does is pass the ball backwards. I'm sorry, like.
Yeah, well, I think he's the reason we won 3-1 personally. So, you know.
He played in one good. To be fair to him, right? He did obviously have a hand in the second goal, which was crucial, which was the little knockdown. Although I give more credit to Nonny for his cross there, and he put in a nice ball in the first half. But no. Moises Caicedo and Enzo Fernandez. Let's move on.
Moises Caicedo, Enzo Fernandez, Cole Palmer in the 10, who I wish they brought off earlier because he looked like he was in bits by the end of that game because they kept being hacked down. The front three is where I think it gets potentially interesting. I think, look, Nico Jackson's a shoe-in. The left-hand side and the right-hand side, Dan, I'm going to leave that with you.
I think Nonny starts again. I know there's talk about him being, you know, taking the goal away from Trev. That's Trev's goal in my mind. That's not Nonny's goal. But Nonny also did play in a brilliant ball for Cucurella's goal, as I just mentioned. And I still think that Neto just isn't doing that much at the moment. And I think on the left side, it will be Jadon Sancho. I think it's pretty simple. Again, we're not talking about outstanding performances at the moment, players who are really at the height and the peak of their powers. It's just those are the options. You know, I don't really think that Tyreek George is going to start this game. I don't really have much place for João Felix starting an important game for Chelsea. So that's it, really.
Mm. Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see that battle on the left-hand side because obviously Kyle Walker is looking like he's on his way to AC Milan on loan for the rest of the season. So if that's the case, then you're going to be looking at Rico Lewis inverting a lot, which will give Jadon Sancho hopefully a bit more license.
Yeah.
Just that little bit of extra space, which I think he thrives in. I think he's looking good. I'm very happy with Jadon Sancho.
He just needs to shoot more. He needs to shoot more. That's the biggest criticism I have of him. He gets himself into some really good positions and he just doesn't shoot. And it's like, mate, and my biggest frustration as well with him, he tries to do too much. It's like he thinks he's, you know, six aside where he has to, and he's, you know, cage football where he has to beat everyone 50 times. It's like, mate, you've already beat the defender. Get a shot away. You're inside the box. Get a shot away.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's the one thing I am thinking. He does do that a lot, but I do think when he does that a lot of the time, he's waiting for people to come up because our counter-attacking has not been as fluid as it has been in the past.
No.
You look at the beginning of the season, we were rampant. Like, we were unbelievable going forward. Now I look at us and I think, well, there's a lot of things that need to be reconsidered there. But look, overall, I'm very, very happy with Jadon Sancho. I think he's playing well. Nonny, played better. Enzo Maresca did say in the post-match press that he dropped off again after scoring the goal, which is a big worry. Especially in a game against Manchester City, because you need to be switched on and be at your best every single time. That's the one thing which really does worry me, and I really hope that he does bring his A game. I think that's the most important thing. Overall, I think that Chelsea, that's a pretty strong side. Central C is definitely the biggest asset in goal, something which we're very, very happy with. But I think that's the Echo 11. And we gave you all of the other business in what was supposed to be the first half of the preview in terms of transfers. But that has been the Chelsea Echo podcast. Chelsea heading to Manchester City to hopefully collect all 3 points. If you do enjoy the pod, please make sure you give us a 5-star review. It really does help myself. It helps Dan, helps Tom, the score, everybody that's involved in the show. And if you don't like it, please tell us why. It actually does help us. We want to improve. Obviously, we're trying out and tweaking new parts of the show every single week, so we want you to get involved with that. But this has been the Chelsea Echo, and we will see you for the next one. Ta-da!